Next on our agenda is Regulation 2021-01, candidate salaries and the proposed final rule. Council.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 2330A is a draft final rules and explanation and justification on candidate salaries. The draft revises regulations concerning the use of campaign funds by a candidate's principal campaign committee to pay compensation to the candidate. The commission would be issuing these final rules in response to a petition for rulemaking filed by a former candidate for the United States House of Representatives. Given the 30-day congressional review period for final rules of the commission, the effective date of these final rules would be March 1st, 2024. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. And thank you for all of your incredible work on this. Through the hearing, through the drafting, you have been there. And I know I am certainly grateful for everything that you've done here to help us get across the finish line. Colleagues, discussion.
Madam Chair.
Sure.
I saw my colleague's eyes shift in my direction. I'd also like to thank the Office of General Counsel. This was a very long road, and without getting too into the weeds in public, I recognize there's a lot of back and forth, not always at convenient hours, and I'm personally very grateful. I'd also like to acknowledge the hard work of Commissioner Broussard and her staff. This regulatory text is very much her accomplishment, and it reflects deep engagement with all of our offices. I'll just say all of our offices, so I suspect especially mine, in advancing a bipartisan compromise. This regulation is not, to my mind, perfect, but it is an enormous improvement on the status quo. Let me begin with my doubts. There have been suggestions that candidates paying themselves salaries from campaign funds necessarily violate the law's ban on personal use. After all, that salary is then spent directly on rent, groceries, gas, and other necessities of life, many of which are explicitly banned by the statute. This is a non-trivial point and one that might be tested in court, but we do not write on a blank slate. In my judgment, we do more good in agreeing on these amendments here than we would in deadlocking on an already settled point of law. With that said, I'd like to highlight a few points. Most importantly, the commission today acknowledges that salaries to candidates are lawful where they replace actually foregone income. This regulation is not an invitation to simply pay candidates as candidates or for being a candidate, nor does it put the commission in the strange place of setting a market price for candidate services, whatever those might be. We also decline to adopt the view that candidates are mere employees of their campaign committees who may be hired, paid, fired, or replaced at will. A candidate's political committee is an anti-corruption device that segregates campaign funds and deters bribery. Voters vote for the candidate, not the candidate committee. Instead, this regulation does three important things that better align it with the stated goal of allowing individuals of modest means to campaign for office. First, it replaces the starting event for drawing a salary. Instead of using state filing deadlines, which are generally late in the process and vary widely across the states, it imposes a universal rule. A candidate may draw a salary after filing a statement of candidacy with the commission. This eliminates the arbitrary treatment of candidates based upon widely divergent state laws, and it incentivizes candidates to file a statement of candidacy, potentially eliminating thorny questions of candidate status that have bedeviled the commission for many years. Second, this regulation lowers the cap on compensation, imposing a cap of one half the salary of a member of Congress. This reflects the, to my mind, obvious fact that incumbent representatives running for re-election are still employed as members of Congress. Other candidates may also work while campaigning, but the revised cap reflects the fact that those who choose to campaign full-time are not similarly situated to individuals with ongoing responsibilities as incumbent officeholders. Third, and perhaps most fundamentally, this regulation clarifies that any outside income will be deducted from the maximum salary a candidate may receive. Again, this regulation is explicitly targeted at replacing foregone income. It is not an opportunity to supplement existing income. Because I believe those three changes in particular, there's more in them, but those are the big ones for me, are significant improvement on the existing regulation. I'm happy to support them. Again, Commissioner Broussard was the animating force behind this, and this rule is her accomplishment. But I again want to thank the Office of General Counsel, and I think we all benefited from the engaged comments and public testimony that informed our decision today. And I want to especially thank the public for their engagement. Several observers, I suspect, will see echoes of their recommendations and their commentary in this final draft. That's how this process is supposed to work. So with my thanks again to my colleagues and to the public, I look forward to supporting the draft.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to add my sincere thanks to Commissioner Dickerson, Commissioner Broussard, and the Chair for their efforts to bring this rulemaking to resolution, and note that my vote today comes down to a genuine disagreement about the law. My opposition to this rule is not necessarily a reflection of my views on whether candidates should be able to pay themselves a salary from the funds given to their campaigns, although I do have concerns about that as a policy matter. Rather, my vote is an expression of my opinion that the statute we administer does not create space for us to pass this rule. As former Commissioner Brad Smith candidly acknowledged when he testified before us, it was a wrong turn that the commission took many years ago. And I just don't see a sufficiently compelling reason to double down on that error. This new rule does not solve the fundamental problem that Congress did not, when it passed FECA, create an exception for the personal use prohibition to allow candidates to draw a salary from campaign funds. 52 U.S.C. 30114B is very clear that a contribution or donation to a principal campaign committee shall not be converted by any person to personal use. The statute continues on to list specific prohibited expenses, including a home mortgage, rent, utility payments, clothing purchases, and non-campaign related automobile expenses, or any household food items. But under the candidate salary regime, while a candidate may not withdraw $2,000 from their campaign bank account to make a mortgage payment, that same candidate could pay herself $2,000 from her campaign's funds and use that money to make the same mortgage payment. How the former is prohibited personal use, whereas the latter is not, boggles my mind. And it is not at all clear to me why the commission has extended the candidate salary allowance only to congressional and not to presidential candidates. So while I appreciate the work my colleagues have done to create an easier to understand and administer candidate salary regime, because all too often our rules are complex and difficult to comply with anyways, I cannot support this rule. I'm not unsympathetic to the demands of running for elected office, and I support the candidate recruitment and training efforts that are undertaken by party committees and nonprofits across the country. And I hope that those efforts can address some of the concerns animated by these reforms. And I sincerely appreciate all the people who took the time to testify before the commission and to file written comments. But at the end of the day, my job is to administer the statute within the bounds of the Constitution, and I am unpersuaded that this rule is within our authority to pass. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to thank my colleagues, both the colleagues that have spoken today. I appreciate the words that you have said, not only congratulating the staff and myself, but also speaking and sharing your views on where we might be diverging, because I think that that's where real understanding for everyone outside could understand the amount of work that it's taken for us to get here today. So I'm gonna close with thanking the staff, and the main person to thank is sitting right next to me. So I will close with you. Mm-hmm. But today I am pleased that the commission is voting on these new regulations on when a candidate can use campaign funds for their own compensation. This project started in 2021 with a petition for rulemaking submitted by Nabila Islam, a former candidate for the U.S. Senate House of Representatives, I might be predicting a future right there, who knows, and a current member of the Georgia State Senate. I want to thank Senator Islam for her efforts to bring about these changes. The changes in the final rule will help ordinary working class Americans to represent their communities by running for federal office. In particular, the new regulations will now allow a candidate to begin drawing compensation for their campaign, starting on the date that they file their statement of candidacy. And this new provision reflects the realities of running for federal office. which often involve full-time campaigning beginning more than a year before the election. Candidates will also be able to continue to draw compensation for 20 days after their end of the candidacy to allow for a period of winding down. Finally, under the new regulations, the compensation cap will now be based on a candidate's average earned income over a longer look-back period rather than the single year prior to their candidacy. This will allow more people to draw compensation, including people who may have had gaps in employment due to illness, economic downturns, caregiving responsibilities, or schooling. And I'd like to thank again my colleagues on the commission as well as OGC staff who worked on this rulemaking. So from OGC policy, I thank Mr. Joe Winsinger. Thank you very much, Joe. Commissioner Dickerson did mention that there were a lot of late hours and you were extremely patient with us. So I thank you again for that. Cheryl Helmsley, who is on screen. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Amy Rothstein, that is the team lead, and Nevin Stepanovic, who is the head of policy. I thank all of you for the work that you've done to this, and I think we'll soon realize how important it is to the American people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to add my thanks to the excellent staff who did their usual excellent work for the American people and for the commission. I want to particularly thank Commissioner Broussard and her staff, particularly Ms. Jory, for their indefatigable efforts to bring this across the finish line. I share her passion for this project, and I am grateful that we have reached this day where it looks like we're actually going to pass this rule. I think that in some ways, this is a continuation of a project that the commission has been engaged in for many years through a series of AOs addressing issues like childcare that are where the commission has recognized the difficulties of running for office for a wide variety of people. And I think the American people are better served by a Congress that looks more like the American people and is not just comprised of millionaires who can afford to take 2 years off without pay and run for office. Regular people running for office will bring the concerns of regular people to the Congress and I think make for better government. So I am very excited that we are at this point where we can vote for this today. And again, want to particularly thank my colleague, Commissioner Broussard, for helping us to reach this excellent moment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I think you're about to say motion, so I'm not sure. But Commissioner Weintraub reminded me, I was remiss, so thank you for mentioning Esther Giori, who was the lead counsel in my office for this. There are numerous people in Commissioner Dickerson's office that should be named as well, but Zach and Jen, I might mess up your last name, so I apologize. I'm not in that good frame of getting the names out correct right now, but thank you. And there were lots of staff people in everyone's office, so I thank all of them. But I wanted to make sure that I thanked Esther because she is the brain trust. So she deserves to be called out personally. If I may, Madam Chair, move the motion. Thank you. In Reg 2021-01, candidate salaries, I move approval of agenda document number 2320A.
Any discussion? Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry, I forgot to say one other thing, which is the hearing that Commissioner Broussard and her staff organized was one of the most compelling hearings that I have seen at this commission. And I wanted to particularly thank not only Ms. Islam for bringing the petition, but for all of the witnesses, several of whom traveled at their own expense to come and tell us their personal stories. And I think they were incredibly persuasive and really added and enriched the public record.
Any further discussion of that motion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
The motion passes 5-1 with Commissioner Broussard, Weintraub, Dickerson, and the Vice Chair and myself in favor, and Commissioner Traynor opposed. Thank you all.